Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Want to know what scares baby boomers more than dying? Losing their minds. That's right. The prospect of being cold in the grave is more appealing than needing to hire somebody to help you put on your socks or feed you ice cream. Americans spend more than $1 billion a year on cognitive classes and computer games to increase brain fitness. They take fish oil and ginkgo biloba and eat a Mediterranean diet and still find themselves unable to remember the name of that guy who was in that movie with that other guy. Patricia Marks is staff writer for The New Yorker. She set out to investigate whether all that stuff works. And she is pretty darn smart and also really funny. And so is her book, Let's Be Less Stupid. Patricia Marks, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
When do our brains start to lose their tone?
In your 20s, when you don't even need to be that smart, all you need to know is how to open the beer can, your brain is sort of cooking the best. And by around 27, it starts to shrink. That doesn't mean there aren't benefits to getting older, even mentally. And one heartening thing I read is that millennials actually forget their keys and what day it is more than the 50-year-olds and up.
Really? So there is hope?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It might be that they don't have keys and they don't care what day it is. But there is hope.
Well, the brain is elastic and cognitive rejuvenation is possible. That's one of the things you learned. Now, I thought that cognitive capacity was pretty much formed at an early age. It is not finite?
No. And in fact, your long-term memory isn't finite. Until a few decades ago, they thought that the brain was not plastic and that you had a certain number of neurons and like water evaporating, it just drip, 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 went away, and then, you know, then your caregiver had to show you how to tie your shoes. But now they know that you actually grow neurons, and it's really about neural connections, and that everything you do is changing your brain.
How about alcohol, drinking alcohol? That was a big
thing. Oh, this is really good news. Alcohol does not kill neurons unless you drink so much that you die, and then that's probably the least of your problems. However, it does do some damage to your dendrites, which are really important in communicating information from one neuron to another. So it's as if the internet went down in your brain.
So did you find yourself drinking more during the writing of this book?
Absolutely, can't you tell? I learned lots of good cocktail party tidbits. It is true that teenagers with IQs of 125 drink twice as much, I think, as teenagers who are not quite as smart.
Okay, we cannot let that bit of news get out there.
I know. It's as if the subtitle should be just drink up. But I don't know why that is.
How about blueberries?
Blueberries are good. It's pretty much everything that is good for your body is good for your brain because guess what? They're connected. And the corollary of that is everything that is really boring is good for you.
Really? So like what?
Well, exercise and naps and meditation and salmon.
Well, there are plenty of things, obviously, that we should remember. You know, how to get somewhere. I suppose we don't need to anymore with the GPS, but
guess what? It turns out that if you rely on the GPS, and who doesn't, the GPS part of your brain shrinks a little.
Well, I guess that's part of my thought, that can't we make an argument that there is just too much to remember now? I mean, we have so much more information than we used to. What did you find about that?
There's a very optimistic theory by a guy named Ramsar. He said the reason we're getting stupider is that we're getting smarter. There is so much information overload now, as you know, for instance, and this wasn't Ramsar, this was somebody else, I think Levitin, said that we absorb the equivalent of 174 newspapers a day, which is five times what we had to take in 1986. And by the way, by we, I don't mean I, because I am not taking in 174 newspapers. The other thing that's just like staggering is that in the last 2 years, we've produced 90% of the world's information, more information than was produced from the dawn of civilization to 2003. So how can we remember that? So in my book, I tell about things that we should really forget.
So like what? What should we unremember?
Well, everything we learned in school, for one thing. I mean, the Dewey Decimal System, we don't have to know. Sentence diagramming, microfiche. And then there are people like Wesley Snipes, Charo, we don't have to know about. The floor plan of the Brady Bunch house, delete.
Can you exercise your brain and make it smarter, like you can firm up your thighs or your pecs? Well, Patricia Marks is a humorist and staff writer for The New Yorker, and her attempt to get her brain into 22-year-old fighting shape using computer brain games and meditation and learning language and playing music and even electrocranial stimulation and other arduous methods somehow come across as funny in her new book. It's called Let's Be Less Stupid. When you were on your brain fitness regime, mm-hmm. you did get an fMRI to establish your brain health. Now, what did you see initially?
Well, I should say that I spent 4 months doing everything possibly that I could tolerate that they said might be good for your brain. And before and after I did that, I had my brain imaged with fMRIs and MRIs, and I had my IQ taken.
So what did those reveal?
All right, let's start with the IQ test. Before I had it professionally taken, I took a few tests online because there are all these free tests online. Though they're not really free because you have to pay to get the results. And I took one, and I'm thinking, God, my mother was right. I am so smart. I am just acing this. This is so easy. And then I clicked to get my results, and I have an IQ of 74, which, you know, means that, like, I'm an overachiever just because I can tie my shoes. And I realized that that the test was timed. And I never knew that. That day, I just, you know, sort of did one of the tests. Then I went and voted for the mayor. Then I did one of the tests. And then I had lunch. And now, you could argue that anybody who fails to read the directions deserves an IQ of
74. Maybe that's the trick question there.
But then I had it professionally taken, you know, by someone who required you to bring number two pencils. And I can't really reveal what happened.
Because
you know, that would kill the suspense. But I will say that when I had my brain imaged, and I had never had MRIs before, and I really like getting an MRI, and I got the pictures back, and there were, like, lots and lots of areas that had expanded. The technician told me that my brain had expanded 33% in many areas. And I showed that to my boyfriend, who's a scientist. And he laughed and just said, if that were true, your brain would now be oozing out of your ears and your eyes, and it's not. But lots of areas were lighting up that hadn't been lighting up. But even that's questionable. They did a study where they took a dead salmon, put it in an MRI machine, showed the dead salmon pictures of faces, and asked the dead salmon what each picture conveyed emotionally. And wouldn't you know it, they got some sort of brain activity.
So I mentioned some of the things that you tried. What do neurologists say about exercise and brain function?
Well, this was a really disappointment to me because I love sitting down. I really don't like exercise. But exercise is great for you. In addition to it resulting in more blood getting to your brain, which prevents strokes, it actually changes the shape of your brain for the better, and it stimulates the production of good proteins as opposed to bad proteins, which help neurons communicate with one another. So it's altogether good. But there's really good news on the horizon because scientists are developing a pill that they say will mimic the beneficial cognitive effects of exercise without even leading to sweating. Essentially, the pill contains a hormone, FNDC5, that basically prods the expression of factors which activate genes that are involved in learning and memory. So all you have to do is down the pill, sit back, and get smarter.
You also tried meditation, which it's been proven to do what for the brain?
Essentially, meditation reduces stress, and stress is bad for the brain. Stress is necessary if, say, there's a tiger running after you, and you have to have enough adrenaline to run from the tiger or get a taxi and tell him to get you away from the tiger. But in normal circumstances, you don't need to be producing those chemicals. And yet we do. We stand in the line that has, you're allowed to have 10 or less items, and the guy in front of you has 11, and you just are so upset, or at least I am, that basically my brain is fighting the tiger. So meditation helps you reduce stress, and it helps the brain.
Can you tell us, do you feel smarter?
I feel kind of less worried about my brain than I did. And one of the reasons is that for every study that says you can do this, there's a study that says, no, that's wrong. So I'm a fatalist, and I like to believe, well, whatever's going to happen, happens. I also learned that Alzheimer's is different than just forgetting where that thing is, or where your keys are, or what the name of that thing is. It doesn't mean that before long you are going to start putting toothpaste on your contact lenses. So I felt more confident that I wasn't necessarily going to get Alzheimer's just because I couldn't think of that word. And I also feel less worried because I thought, well, if I'm going down, everybody's going down with me. Your brain does get a little rustier, and even if there are things you can do about it, you don't have a 20-year-old brain, but you're wiser.
Patricia Marks, thank you very much for speaking with
us. Thank you. This was fun.
Patricia Marks is staff writer for The New Yorker. She's a former writer for Saturday Night Live and author of Let's Be Less Stupid, An Attempt to Maintain My Mental Faculties. There's more on the book at wordofmouthradio.org.